Hello, everybody. This is Clint. It has been a long, long time since I have podcasted, and I want to apologize for that. Life seems to get in the way and get busy, and all kinds of things happen when you're busy with life and you have a teenager and one going to college. So I plan to be very much more consistent about this. This plans to be a weekly podcast because I've changed it. No longer is it searching for serenity or looking for peace or even some practical kind of tips on anxiety. However, we will cover that. It's also going to be what I've entitled it now, Lessons from My Narcissistic Father. And I want to be honest with you. I've struggled with this. Whether I should put this out there or not, how is my mom or my sister going to hear this and manage this if they hear it or see it at all? Is it something I should be talking about? And I've come to the conclusion that it is. And why it's something I think I should be talking about is because it had a huge impact on my life. I'm a therapist for a reason. I am in recovery for a reason. I have had struggles in my relationships for a reason. Some of that is, yes, how I interpreted the patterns and the events of life growing up and how I chose to respond to them and what I chose to do about them. And some of that was how my father was when I was growing up. Now, I want to be really clear. So when I say, hey, lessons from my narcissistic father, do I really think my dad was truly, truly a narcissistic personality disordered person? I don't think so in the strictest sense of the word. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today about what we're talking about and what the series is going to be as we go through it. What I do believe very strongly is my dad had narcissistic traits, a lot of them. Do I really truly believe he was completely narcissistic? No. So we're going to talk about what narcissistic personality disorder is, mainly because that word is used so much today. I think way too often. A lot of my clients come in and tell me, hey, their mom, their dad, their spouse, their partner is narcissistic. And what I usually say to that is I caution them. They may be narcissistic, maybe. The reality is narcissistic personality disorder is not lurking on every corner. There is not somebody who's narcissistic everywhere. They are not 9 out of 10 people or even 5 out of 10 people. Narcissism, truly narcissistic people that are personality disordered, is a pretty rare thing. It's actually a very small percentage of the population. Probably a little bit more than sociopaths are, but still, it's not even, it's not half the population. It's not 30% of the population. It's nothing like that. So I want to be really clear when I'm talking about lessons from my narcissistic father. I'm going to include things about narcissism and what goes into that and how those things have impacted me, how I've coped with those things. But we're also going to talk about, what narcissism is not. So if you're coming here and you're struggling with what you think is a family member, a parent, a spouse that you think is narcissistic, hopefully we can clear some of that up about what narcissism truly is. And yes, they may have some traits, and you can talk about or think about with others how that works for you, how you've coped with that, what you've done about that, how that's impacted you in some way. So we're definitely going to talk about those things. When I was struggling about when I was going to start with this, I thought, hey, I'm going to start with probably one of the last conversations I had with my father, just so you can kind of see why I'm titling this podcast the way I have, hey, Lessons from My Narcissistic Father. And so I'm going to kind of begin with the end in mind, and then over the course of the series of podcasts, we'll talk about how I got to this place where this was kind of my last conversation with him. So this was many, many years ago. He had invited me to lunch over and over again because I had spent several years kind of minimizing my contact with him for a lot of reasons we'll get into as the podcast progresses. This is kind of what I'm going to do with my podcast. I'm going to tell personal stories about my interactions with my family, with my father, my growing up, personal stories about how it impacted me, the decisions I made, how I hurt myself, the ways it affected me. And then I'm also going to give you how I cope with those things. So out of that, we're going to come out with practical skills and tools about how to take care of yourself, about how to set boundaries and limits, about how to increase your own self-esteem, how to have healthier relationships with other people, how to think differently about the world around you, all those kinds of things. But I'm going to always start in my podcast at some level with a personal story and talk about where narcissism falls into that, my reactions to that, and then some practical advice for you. So I hope that makes sense as we go through it. So getting back to my story. So my dad had offered me to come to lunch many, many times over. And I'd refused him many, many times over. I was probably in my mid-40s, somewhere in there. So this was 10, 15 years ago, at least. Finally, one time, you know, he sent me an email and basically said, "Hey, you're a therapist and you don't even know how to have a relationship with your father." And basically trying to guilt me and make me feel bad that I'm a therapist and somehow I don't know how to have a relationship, which is one of the traits of narcissistic people. Even though I don't think he was truly narcissistic at his core, this is a narcissistic characteristic. So I still refused him when that email came through. And eventually I said to myself, I'll go ahead and have lunch with him. So this lunch we had, we sat down and he basically asked me the question, "Hey, how do you have limits and boundaries with your dad? I don't understand." Because he knew I had limits and boundaries with him over and over, that I had slowed down my interaction with him, not come over on holidays. I may or may not take his phone call. There were a lot of reasons. And so this is basically what he was asking me. And so I said, "Hey, growing up, you weren't there for me. You weren't present. I played high school football and I started. And he never, ever came to a football game when I was a senior in high school. Even though I started, the team I played on was undefeated. We went to the playoffs in the state. He never attended a high school football game." And I reminded him of that. And then I said, "Hey, you said when I was 18 and I was going off to college and I was going off to college with a football scholarship, hey, you would take the money, child support you were paying mom, and you would give me that monthly so I could live and support myself. And you never did that." So I kind of went through all these things he said he was going to do that he never really followed through with, and told him, and that continued when I became an adult. My son, who is now almost 20, I said, "You never come to a soccer game. You've never come to a baseball game. You don't come to birthday parties. You may have come once or twice. When they're close enough to your house, you get there. If they're farther away, you don't really ever come." So again, I was going through all the ways that I had felt abandoned and lost and not important and just how utterly rejected I felt by him. And at this point in time, I was in my mid-40s and I had done enough therapy work that I could actually confront him about this. So this took a lot of work to get here. It's part of the reason why I think I probably refused him over and over about lunch. And so his response to that was to go through all the reasons why he couldn't be there for those things. "Well, I told your mom this. Well, I told your mom that. Well, I had to go to work. I had to be there. I had to do these kinds of things." One of the things he did was he worked for the railroad, but he also was a referee. He was basically the guy who started the Georgia High School Association in some ways. He was the head of the officials. He was the head of everything there. And when I was a senior in high school and playing football, one of the things he promised me was, "Hey, when you get to be a senior and you're starting and playing football, I'm going to quit refereeing so I can be there every Friday night." That did not happen. And then a couple weeks into the season, he said, "Hey, I'm not going to be there every Friday night, but what I've asked the coach if I can come watch the film on Mondays after the game so I can see you play." That did not happen. So this was his excuse, that he had to keep doing that. He was relied on by other people. This is what he needed to do. Nobody else was going to be able to do that. And again, this is a narcissistic trait, right? He is important to other people. He is getting his esteem and validation from other people telling him how great and wonderful he is, but he's not doing that with his family. Again, a narcissistic trait. I also, told him, you know, he was worried about, oh, well, it's because we got divorced. I said, no, I'm not really worried about the divorce. The divorce was fine. It was what it was. What I'm more concerned about is what I'm telling you, is that you were never there. And as I'm telling him these things and he's giving me back his excuses, I said to him, hey, I've been to therapy with you twice. You asked me to come to therapy, and this is what's happened every time we've gone to therapy. I tell the therapist exactly what I just said, all the ways you weren't there, and then you give the therapist all the excuses about why you couldn't be there for those things. And I would end up looking at the therapist, kind of throwing my hands up and saying, see, this is what I get every time I do this, which again is a narcissistic trait. There was no, hey, I'm sorry about that. Hey, I get why it looked that way for you. Hey, I should have been there in some way. Just any kind of acknowledgement of apology, of I'm sorry, of recognition. Again, a narcissistic trait of not being able to recognize their own mistakes and own up to them and say them out loud. So I told him that. And I could see him getting more frustrated and angry. But my dad was good at managing his anger, at least when I saw him. Again, a narcissistic trait. There can be narcissistic rage and frustration. I think he tried to hide that pretty well. And in the end, I told him, unless you plan on initiating something with me, because these are all the ways I've tried to initiate with you. I'm here at lunch again. I've come to you before and told you that, hey, I forgive you for everything that's happened. Let's start over. Let's make sure we can see each other as much as possible. And then you never responded to that in any kind of way. So I'm not doing that anymore with you. And you could see him getting more frustrated. His response to that was to say, well, everybody I'm over at my house. And he stopped himself and said, I'm not going to say that. And I said, I'll finish that for you. Everybody over at your house thinks I'm the biggest a-hole in the world because I'm not there, because I'm not present, because I don't respond, because all those kinds of things. But they don't know you like I know you. They have a completely different experience of you than I do. Their experience of you is that you pay for things for them, that you send their grandkids to private school, that you buy them cars, that you make sure they're all okay, which are things I never, ever got from you in any kind of way. I've had to always do those things on my own and by myself, which we'll talk about in podcasts to come, has been a good thing. It's made me self-sufficient and persistent and, you know, all those kinds of things that come with that, self-reliant, all that. But there's some negative sides to that, too. It means at times I haven't asked for help, that I don't reach out, that I don't care for myself the way I need to. Again, these are the impacts of having a narcissistic parent and being an adult child of a narcissistic parent. So we ended that meeting kind of right there and at lunch. And he never really followed through with anything. I think he made a couple of attempts. The attempts were calling to have dinner, which I think he did once. And then on my son's birthday once, instead of being at the birthday party, about 2 weeks after the birthday party, he came to my house when nobody was there and left a gift on the porch. So instead of coming when we're there, instead of coming when we're around, instead of calling, instead of being at the birthday party, he comes when nobody's around. Again, another narcissistic trait because we don't want to be confronted with these things. So as I go through some of this, I want you to be able to hear and recognize how this impacted me. Even into my 40s, here I am being impacted by my father and these narcissistic traits. Can you imagine what it was like when I was 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, when my parents divorced, a teenager, not having anybody there to be encouraged and supported and cared for. Now, my mom was there. Let me be really clear. She was there. But not my father. And I had a conversation with my mom once about this, and I remember her telling me, you know, I told your dad after we divorced that you needed to be there at the kids' stuff. Because if you're not going to be there at the kids' stuff, it's really going to impact them. And she was right. I think it's really had an impact on me and my sister. So that's what we're going to go through with this podcast. Is that's how it ended, was me having those boundaries and limits. And from then on, I think I may have talked to him on the phone, maybe gone to his house once or twice before he passed away. But it took me a lot. It took me a lot of therapy, a lot of trial and error, a lot of taking care of myself, a lot of learning about myself, a lot of courage, a lot of sadness, a lot of depression and hurt to get to the place that I could actually sit at that lunch and say those things and have those boundaries and limits and care for myself like that. And that's improved even from then. Almost a decade later, I have improved even better from then and taking care of myself. I'm still not perfect, but I'm doing my best to take care of myself. And that's what I want to bring you to. I want to start with, you know, what is narcissistic personality disorder? Do the people in your life who you think may have it, do they really have it? Or do they have some of the traits which can still impact you, whether they are not, whether they're really narcissistic personality disorder or not? Those traits will have an impact on you. To tell you personal stories about how those things have impacted me, my own personal story. And at the end of that podcast, give you some practical things to do to take care of yourself, to learn, to grow through that. What did I do to grow through that? What can you do to grow through that? And then every podcast, do that. Tell my personal story in little sections of my life, what I did to grow through that, how that impacted me, how therapy helped me, and then hopefully give you practical steps to do there also. So before I end this podcast, because it's really just kind of introduction to why I changed it to this title and why I'm doing what I'm doing, I want to really kind of read you what narcissistic personality disorder really is, so you have that framework to wrap your mind around. And so I'm just really going to read them out because I just think it's the best way to do it, and then I'll describe it in more layman's terms here in just a second. But I really want to read these things out to you. So what is narcissistic personality disorder? Narcissistic personality disorder, NPD, is a personality disorder in which a person has an inflated sense of self-importance as well as an intense preoccupation with themselves. And this is why I say my dad had narcissistic traits. Like I said, he would not quit refereeing because he was important there. He was the man there. He was self-important. People loved him. People cared about him. And I'll get into this later too, but when I went to his funeral, that's who was there. Every referee and coach from the state of Georgia was in that room and filling that building. And those were the stories that were told about him. Not about family, not about connection, about his refereeing. The hallmarks of narcissistic personality disorder include grandiosity, a lack of empathy for other people. So again, when you hear my story about lunch, you can hear his lack of empathy and understanding for what was happening with me as a child. They need constant admiration, which is some of what he needed from me. What he said to me was, well, I'm your dad. You should be taking care of me, or you should be over here talking. I'm your dad. So he had this part of him that needed me to admire him because he had the role of father. And somehow that meant he was entitled for me to constantly be there and take care of him. Admiration. People with this condition are frequently described as arrogant, self-centered, manipulative, and demanding. They also concentrate on grandiose fantasies, their own success, their beauty, their brilliance. And they may be convinced that they deserve special treatment. These characteristics typically begin in early childhood and must be consistently evident in multiple contexts, such as work and relationships. People with NPD believe they are superior or special and often try to associate with other people they believe are unique or gifted in some way. This association enhances their self-esteem, which is typically quite fragile underneath the surface. They seek excessive admiration, attention, in order that others would think of them highly. They have a difficulty tolerating criticism or being defeated, and they're left feeling empty and humiliated, and they experience injury, what we call narcissistic injury, if they are criticized or they have some kind of frustration sent their way. That's why my dad at this lunch was getting more and more angry as we talked, because I was giving him feedback about how he had disappointed me and what had happened. I know I'm not perfect, but the more I told him that, the more narcissistic injury happened for him. Because in layman's terms, what I like to tell people is Narcissist people, the reality about this is, yes, they have this sense of grandiose and they do nothing wrong. And if you tell them they make a mistake or you give them criticism, they are either going to not acknowledge it. They're going to ignore you completely. They're going to blame something or someone else because it's not their responsibility. They're going to blame you. They're going to gaslight you, which we'll get into later. Again, that's a term that's way misused and way overused these days, but we'll talk about that as we go forward. And that is because at the core of somebody who is truly narcissistic personality disorder is their self-esteem is so low and so bad that to acknowledge just one mistake would crush them as a person. I want you to hear that again. A truly narcissistic person never, ever says, I'm sorry. Never, ever takes responsibility. Never, ever says, yeah, that was my fault. Because their self-esteem is so low, to acknowledge those kinds of things would be crushing. It would be the ultimate, quote-unquote, narcissistic injury. That's what we mean by that. It is injurious to them to say how they've made a mistake. They don't see it as encouragement, as a way to get better, as a way to improve, as a way to connect, as a way to be vulnerable, to connect with people. It's an injury. You took a hammer and you whacked them upside the head. You have injured them. And that's where their rage comes from, their frustration, their anger, their withdrawal, their manipulation. And you can hear some of this in my story about my dad at lunch. This is why I start there. And I could recognize that by this time. Now, do I truly think my dad was truly narcissistic personality disorder? Maybe in some ways. I don't think so in others. That's why I question it. That's why I say they're not around every corner. But he definitely had some of those traits. So here are some symptoms of narcissistic personality disorder. They're obsessed with themselves. Their goals are almost always selfish and self-motivated. And I want you to hear some of this in the story I told you about having lunch with him. They have fantasies of unbounding success, power, intelligence, love, and beauty. And my dad, he did. He really wanted to be an official in the pros. Baseball, football, basketball, he did it all. They require extreme admiration for everything. So again, hey, I'm your dad. You're supposed to be here with me. They feel entitled. Unreasonable expectations about how to be treated. Again, what I just said to you. Takes advantage of others to further their own needs. Has zero empathy. Cannot or will not recognize the feelings of others. This is where my dad fits into this too, because he just couldn't see how I had been hurt. He just wouldn't say, hey, yeah, I get that. I understand that. He may be envious of others or believe that others are envious of them. They are arrogant and haughty. They have trouble with healthy, normal relationships. They become furious if criticized. You know, my dad had problems with relationships. Him and my mom divorced when I was 11. He did have only one more marriage after that, but I think they divorced and remarried several times, and that was not the best relationship ever. So there are a lot of traits he fits. So as a child of a narcissist, it's hurtful. It's harmful. You kind of walk away feeling guilty, angry, bad about yourself, depressed, anxious, worried, all those kinds of things, which is what I'm going to go through as the podcast continues. So if these things fit for you or you feel some of these things, whether or not you were the child of a narcissist, now that you're an adult child of a narcissist, I want you to continue with me in this podcast. If you have felt these things and it's taken years to overcome them and you're still not overcoming them, or you're confused or you're sad or you don't understand that you've tried so hard to please the people around you and you can't please them and you don't understand why, this is a podcast for you. If you're anxious about and worried about how people are going to react and what they're going to do and is it going to be good enough, this is a podcast for you. If you withdraw and you avoid because, oh, I don't want people mad and angry at me because that criticism is going to hurt me because I don't like that, this is a podcast for you. So, I hope you continue with me. You can watch this on YouTube too. So, those of you watching me right now, you can see it on YouTube. And you can listen to the podcast. And if you have somebody that you know that this will be important to, that they need to understand these things too, share that with them. Let them know. That's truly why I'm doing this podcast, is because I want to help people become better, to understand, to take better care of themselves, to understand where that comes from. This is not to blame anybody. I don't blame my dad. I'm not blaming him, even though I'm saying all these things. I'm saying, hey, he was who he was, and that had an impact on me. And my responsibility is to learn how to take care of myself and change how I have reacted to the things in my world and understand those things and make those things different. That's my responsibility. It's not to blame him and say, oh, I am like I am because my dad fill in the blank or my mom fill in the blank. It's my responsibility to change those things. Some of it was my responsibility, how I saw things and how I thought about things. And I had to change and think about some of those things differently. So I want this for you too. So again, I hope you join me. It'll be weekly. I'm hoping to put them out every Monday or Tuesday. And the first one we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about just kind of what it means to be an adult child of a narcissist. We're going to talk about kind of what kind of parents narcissistic parents are, the types of parents they are, and what that means. So for instance, I'll give you a few of them, some of the terms and glossaries. So parentification, narcissistic injury, we kind of went over today, triangulation, infantilization, how they turn you or me into a child or turn things into being a child always, triangulation, narcissistic supply, what is that, hovering, gaslighting, we'll go over that, the projection and the projection of themselves, their narcissistic rage, we'll go over that, and really kind of how that really impacts you guys and me, and the cognitive dissonance that created, and what that is. What is cognitive dissonance, and how did that create that? And what goes on, and how that impacts us. And then at the end of that podcast, going to give you some practical tips about how to overcome that, what to do to take care of yourself. Just two or three very easy things to do. So again, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you listening. Like I say, share it out, show it to people, let people know. Just keep it to yourself if you need to. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.